The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and we'll begin with this one from Redbook, What Doctors Tell Their Friends About Sleep. If you can't sleep, rest. A lawyer once asked me to prescribe a sleeping pill for her so she'd always feel rested for court. I told her I couldn't do it. While there are some good reasons to occasionally take one, like when you have to fly overseas or you're dealing with a stressful illness or divorce, regular use is habit-forming, and there's no evidence it will improve your sleep. Research shows that pills can make you fall asleep a little faster and stay asleep about 16 minutes longer, but that's it. And there's a big difference between sedation and sleep. During the most restorative stages of sleep, the brain is still very active, which is not the case when you are rendered unconscious. On a rough night, just close your eyes and relax your muscles and calm your mind. Studies show people who simply rest perform as well on cognitive tasks as people who actually slept. That was W. Chris Winter, M.D., president of Charlottesville Neurology and Sleep Medicine in Virginia, and the author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Another doctor says morning insomnia is a thing. A relative of mine in her 40s had fallen into the habit of waking up too early. She'd look at the time and get upset because it was only 5 a.m. and she had a really busy day ahead. I told her to ditch the clock. Checking it can jumpstart your brain and throw you into the spiral of monitoring how much time has passed. I can only sleep for 20 more minutes. If you don't know what time it is, you can't go down that road, so put your clock or phone on the other side of the room with the face turned away from you. If you have to go to the bathroom, keep the lights dim and tune out any thoughts of your to-do list. Try to avoid sending emails and checking social media right before bed, too. Your brain is more like a dimmer than an on and off switch. You'll wake up thinking about that last text. That was Jennifer L. Martin, Ph.D., Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles, and President of the American Sleep Medicine Foundation. Another, it protects you from Alzheimer's. An old friend once boasted about not sleeping as if it were a badge of honor. That's a dangerous practice. Women are already at greater risk for developing Alzheimer's than men, and research suggests chronic insufficient sleep at midlife may increase that risk significantly. Getting adequate sleep is critical for every organ in the body, none more so than the brain. While we sleep, the brain is hard at work cleaning out waste. Things like amyloid beta, a peptide implicated in Alzheimer's disease, get swept into blood vessels where they're eventually eliminated from the body. So it's worrisome when life's demands and the transition toward menopause make it more difficult for women to get quality sleep during such a key period. If you've been neglecting your sleep, now is the time to make it a priority. It's never too late to prevent further damage. That was Jessica Mong, Ph.D., Professor of Pharmacology and Director of the Graduate Neuroscience Program at the University of Maryland and co-chair of the Society for Women's Health Research Interdisciplinary Network on Sleep. Stop ignoring fatigue. Sleep apnea, pauses in breathing while sleeping, is strongly perceived as a man's disease, while almost as many women have sleep apnea after menopause. 90% of them go undiagnosed. Men typically snore loudly, snort, and wake up gasping for breath, while the only symptom women might have is fatigue after a seemingly adequate night of sleep, a sign that's easy to dismiss. A coworker felt that way constantly, so she volunteered to undergo a home sleep test, or HST, the first step in diagnosing apnea. An HST is done with a device that measures breathing and oxygen flow while you sleep. Her study showed she was having more than 100 stop breathing episodes an hour, well above the threshold for severe apnea. The most effective way to keep the airway open at night is with a CPAP machine, but there are also oral dental appliances that can be effective. With new treatment, this woman felt like a new person. And that was Susan Redline, MD, senior physician in the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston and professor of sleep medicine at Harvard Medical School. binge watch responsibly. After a stressful week of exams, one of my students told me she was going to spend the entire weekend streaming her favorite shows. While I couldn't blame her, I had to tell her to make sure she took a break before bed. People who describe themselves as binge watchers, defined as viewing three or more episodes of the same series in one sitting, have a 98% higher likelihood of poor quality sleep than their peers. Binge watching is worse than watching a weekly airing or even three different TV shows in a row, because these series are designed to keep you emotionally invested. By the end, you're so alert you might need more than the usual hour to wind down before you can fall asleep. If you can, stream on your TV to minimize exposure to brightly lit handheld screens and set an episode limit each night so you can power down in plenty of time to shut off your brain. And that was Jan van den Bulk, Ph.D., professor of media psychology at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. And last, naps done right. My daughter studied in Spain the last summer and came home an advocate of siestas. She thought it was the greatest thing that everyone goes home and takes a nap in the afternoon, and it can be, if you do it right. Napping is not for people with insomnia, but if you're short on sleep because you worked late or your kid was sick, napping can help chip away at that deficit. It's also fine to take a quick nap simply to power through the day. Just do it about 8 hours after you wake up in the morning. You'll doze off more easily because that's when your circadian clock naturally dips. Set an alarm to wake you after either 20 to 30 minutes or 90 minutes. You want to wake up while you're still in the lighter stage of sleep or after you've cycled through deep sleep. Otherwise, you might feel groggy instead of refreshed. From Real Simple, 5 ways to hit restart on relating when you haven't exercised in forever. Coming back to a workout routine after you've been away for a while is always the hardest part. People often focus on what they can't do, so I encourage them to take it one day at a time. I ask new clients about their lifestyle and what they're afraid of. Most people think they're in worse shape than they actually are. But if you break down a big goal into small increments, something as simple as doing one good squat, achieving it is not scary at all. That was Joe Grillo, a personal training director at LA Fitness in Lexington, Kentucky. Another, when you crave a new career. Our impulsive culture promotes living your truth as quickly as possible. But before you lump into a new career, take a practice jump. If you're an accountant who has always wanted to start a bakery, for example, you can do a lot before you quit your day job. You can watch instructional videos online, spend your evenings in pastry classes, shadow a local baker on the weekends. You'll get a sense of the highs and lows and learn the nitty-gritty that you don't see on social media. If the new lifestyle feels good, then you'll know you're ready to take the next step. That was Mike Lewis, author of When to Jump if the job you have isn't the life you want. When a relationship has fallen apart. We do things all the time to irritate our loved ones, usually not on purpose, and sometimes that can lead to a break. What matters is how we repair the situation. If you're the one who dropped the ball, reach out. It's been so long, I feel like the break was my fault, and I'd like to repair it. Or simply say, I apologize. Don't say, I'm sorry you feel that way, which is not a true apology. If you feel you've been wronged, say, I miss you, I want to see you. Meet in a public place with clear time boundaries and make the choice to forgive the other person. Be calm. If things get heated, just say, let's come back to this another time. Remember that you have control of only one thing, how you act. That was Persten Lynn Seal, Ph.D., marriage and family therapist. When your vacation hits a major road bump. Once we arrived in Hanoi, Vietnam, what we thought was our official taxi, it wasn't, dropped us off at a probably illegal hotel with a name very similar to the one I'd booked. There we were, in a dump, exhausted and saddled with these big backpacks. We left the hotel and walked around the city so we could put things in perspective. We got out the map and found the right hotel. We even stumbled across a vibrant night market along the way. If your vacation doesn't start out right, stay calm, take back control and figure out a new game plan. You can do this by seeking out a safe, neutral location of your own choosing, say a cute coffee shop with Wi-Fi, and then mapping out the next few steps needed to get back on track. And that was Kelly Lack, a writer and travel industry consultant. And if you're just having a bad day, take 2 minutes to write a very brief, positive email to someone you know. A thank you, a compliment, or an expression of deep appreciation. It works, for one, because your mind simply can't be in two places at once. You can't be unhappy and stressed if you're thinking about how grateful you are. When you go back to your bad day, your brain has more positive pieces of information about your life, and you won't feel the same slump. Plus, we know that the greatest predictor of long-term happiness is social connection, and you've just spent 2 minutes thinking, whoa, look at this person who cares about me and has contributed to my life in a meaningful way. And that was Michelle Gielen, author of Broadcasting Happiness. From Red Book, Making Herstory. In the book Circe, that's C-I-R-C-E, the famously scorned witch of Greek mythology goes from side character of the Odyssey to powerful sorcerer and mother, worthy of her own epic poem or epically gorgeous novel. The book The Female Persuasion takes a look at the women's movement through writer Meg Wolitzer's gimlet eye, while following Greer Kadetsky's transformation from shy college student to empowered woman. The women in Curtis Sittenfield's book of stories, which is called You Think It, I'll Say It, face different forms of disenchantment, like with marriage and new motherhood at middle age. Her wry wit will make you laugh about your own less-than-perfect life. Another Red Book, just a little one, your new de-stress album. Whether you use cooking after a long work day or the drive home to unwind, let Grammy Award-winning artist Kacey Musgraves help. Her intimate new album, Golden Hour, features sweet, not sappy, love songs inspired by her hubby, plus a few salty ones about the duds she met before him. Even listeners who aren't country fans will enjoy. From Good Housekeeping's Your Body Do Diet, fed up with living in a world of don'ts? That's why we've got the Do Diet. Do. A noodle swap. Veggie curls are fiber and nutrient-packed and have a fraction of the calories of pasta, just 20 to 100 versus 200 calories per cup. Look for frozen versions or spool them out at home. The Good Housekeeping Kitchen Appliances Lab likes the Inspiralizer, which is $25 from inspiralizedshop.com. Add sauce and protein for a meal in minutes. A nutritionist-approved pick is the Green Giant brand veggie spirals, available in the frozen food aisle. And here are a few of them. Zucchini, also known as zoodles, they're a mere 20 calories per cup and provide key minerals like potassium. Sauté them in a small amount of butter, lemon, and garlic, and top with grilled shrimp for a filling dinner. Butternut squash. One cup can have 400% of your daily vitamin A, plus 7 grams of filling fiber. With a hearty bolognese sauce on top, your family will devour it. And beets. These sweet Instagram-worthy spirals are rich in immune-boosting vitamin C and iron. Sauté with olive oil and top with feta for extra flavor. Ask Dr. Oz, is my blood pressure as dangerous as high? If your blood pressure has always been the lower end, around 90 over 60, there's probably no cause for alarm. Some people's BP naturally runs lower than usual, and low blood pressure might just be your version of normal. But if your BP suddenly drops and you experience symptoms like lightheadedness, nausea, fainting, and fatigue, it's time to see your doctor. Low blood pressure, accompanied by symptoms like these, could be a sign of anything from a side effect of a medication to heart problems, dehydration, blood loss, an allergic reaction, or an infection. A doctor will treat the underlying problem to get your BP back up. Do throw in the towel. Into the washer, that is. Towels can breed bacteria and other microbes, contact with which can lead to infectious disease, according to new research. When you dry your hands, germs and even fecal matter, if you wash too quickly, get transferred onto the towel. Then bacteria like E. coli and Salmonella can grow because of the high moisture content, says Charles Gerba, Ph.D., a microbiologist at the University of Arizona. These tips from Carolyn Forte, director of the GH Cleaning Lab, dry them out. Hang towels on rods, not hooks, for faster drying, which will help prevent mildew. Switch them up. Bath towels should be changed about every 3 days and hand towels every 1 to 2 days. Wash in hot water. Many new machines have sanitizing cycles that ensure the proper cycle length and temperature to kill germs, she says. Dry at least 45 minutes before folding. To lower your risk, making your own meals is a money saver, and cooking at home most of the time can lower your risk of type 2 diabetes by 14%, researchers have found. That may be because you avoid restaurants' supersized portions and you're likely to cook with less salt and unhealthy fats. Too much of these is associated with higher odds of developing hypertension, diabetes, and other diseases, says study co-author Ki Sun, MD, SCD, Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School. Pro tip? Prep weekday dishes in advance to freeze and then nuke after work if you're too pooped to cook. Do be wary of essential oils. They smell nice, but with the exception of lavender for sleep and peppermint for calming, there isn't enough research to know if they live up to the wellness hype. Still, when used in moderation, essential oils are thought to be relatively safe, says Melinda Ring, MD, director of the Osher Center for Integrative Medicine at Northwestern. Unless your doc says otherwise, you don't use on or near infants, pets, or pregnant women. Dilute them with oils such as coconut or avocado for topical use. Avoid the sun after applying citrus oils, as these make you more susceptible to sunburn. And don't ingest them. Some are toxic if they're swallowed. And last, do sleep with your pet. No need to banish Fluffy to the basement. 41% of those who let their pets into the bedroom reported that they slept as well as or better than without them, according to a study from the Center for Sleep Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. Only a fifth said their critters woke them up. Having your pet nearby offers a sense of comfort and security, says study author Lois Cron, MD. Pets on or in your bed, however, can be more disruptive, and having multiple pets in the bedroom increases the potential for disruption and is not advisable. Some breast basics, what you need to know about the most common cancer in women worldwide. First, 1 in 8 American women will develop invasive breast cancer in their lifetime. Despite what you've heard, there's no strong scientific evidence to suggest that any of the following are potentially dangerous: bras, hair dyes, or antiperspirants. 2000 BC is the earliest known case of breast cancer, based on CT scans of an Egyptian mummy. The state with the highest incidence rate of breast cancer is New Hampshire, and the experts point to the high screening rates as one of the reasons why. Nevada, for some reason, has the lowest. 75 to 150 minutes, that's how much time per week you need to walk briskly to lower your risk by 18%. That translates to 1.25 to 2.5 hours a week. One alcoholic drink a day increases your chances to get breast cancer by at least 5%. 2 to 3 drinks a day ups your risk by 20%. Risk factors you can control: being overweight, drinking alcohol, not exercising, smoking, eating a bad diet. 6 symptoms to have checked that aren't a lump: breast pain, skin irritation or dimpling of the breast swelling, thickening of the nipple or skin, nipple abnormalities, or nipple discharge. 85% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer do not have any family history of the disease. Do not blow off mammograms and your monthly self-exam just because the cancer doesn't seem to run in your family. Some fast, fancy-ish dinners. First, steak and snow pea salad with oranges and edamame. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 20. You need 1 pound of sirloin or flank steak, about 1 inch thick, trimmed, kosher salt and pepper, 1 orange, 1 cup frozen edamame, thawed, 4 ounces of snow peas, cut into thirds, half of a small red onion, thinly sliced, 1/4 cup mint leaves, and 1 tablespoon olive oil. Heat your broiler. Line a broiler-proof rimmed baking sheet with nonstick foil. Season steak with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and broil to desired doneness 3 to 4 minutes per side for medium rare. Transfer to a cutting board and let rest 5 minutes before slicing. Meanwhile, cut skin and white pith from orange and slice into thin rounds. Transfer to a bowl and gently toss with the edamame, snow peas, red onion, mint, oil, and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Serve with the steak. This looks very fresh and lovely, quite honestly. How about leek and lemon linguine? Active time and total time are 25 minutes. You need 12-ounce whole wheat linguine or spaghetti, 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 cloves garlic thinly sliced, 2 medium leeks, white and light green parts cut into half moons, kosher salt and pepper, 1 lemon, 1 cup frozen peas, 1/2 cup flat-leafed parsley, 1/4 cup whole and 1/4 cup roughly chopped. So you're going to do 2 different things with that parsley. 1/2 cup finely grated Parmesan cheese, plus more for serving. Cook pasta per package directions. Reserve 2 cups cooking liquid, then drain. Meanwhile, heat oil in a large, deep skillet over medium. Add garlic and cook, stirring until light golden brown, 1 to 2 minutes, using a slotted spoon to transfer to a paper towel-lined plate. Add leeks to the pan, season with 1/2 teaspoon salt, and cook, stirring occasionally until tender, about 6 to 8 minutes. Meanwhile, using a vegetable peeler, remove 4 strips lemon zest, thinly slice the zest. Squeeze 2 tablespoons juice into a small bowl and set aside. Add peas, whole parsley leaves, and lemon zest to the skillet, along with 1 cup of the reserved cooking liquid, and simmer gently 2 minutes. Add the drained pasta, Parmesan, reserved garlic, and 1/2 teaspoon pepper, tossing to combine. Then toss with lemon juice, adding extra pasta water if it seems dry. Sprinkle with chopped parsley and serve sprinkled with extra Parmesan if desired. This serves 4. And the last one of these easy but fancy-ish dinners, cauliflower couscous with paprika shrimp. Active and total time are both 20 minutes. You need 1 medium head of cauliflower, about 1 3/4 pounds, 3 tablespoons olive oil, 1/2 cup dried apricots or 3 fresh apricots, roughly chopped, kosher salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 20 large peeled and deveined shrimp, 1 teaspoon paprika, 1/2 of a seedless cucumber cut into 1/2-inch pieces, 1/4 cup fresh mint leaves, roughly chopped. Thinly slice the cauliflower and place in the bowl of a food processor. Roughly chop thick stems and add to the food processor. Pulse cauliflower until finely chopped, resembling couscous. Pulse any big pieces again separately if necessary. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in a large skillet over medium. Add the cauliflower, apricots, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and cook covered, stirring occasionally, until cauliflower begins to soften 2 to 3 minutes. Transfer to a large bowl and toss with lemon juice and 1 tablespoon oil. Wipe out the skillet and heat the remaining tablespoon of oil on medium. Season the shrimp with paprika and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Working in batches, cook shrimp until opaque throughout, 1 to 2 minutes per side. Add cucumber and mint to the cauliflower and toss to combine. Serve with the shrimp. From Good Housekeeping, this is an appetizer or snack, arugula pesto. Active and total time, 5 minutes. 2 cups baby arugula, 1/3 of a cup grated Parmesan, 1/4 cup pine nuts, toasted, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1 clove garlic, 1/2 cup extra virgin olive oil, also known as EVU, and kosher salt. In a food processor, pulse the arugula, parmesan, pine nuts, lemon juice, garlic, olive oil, and 1/4 teaspoon salt until smooth. Then try it on crostini. Spread toasted bread with ricotta. Top with pesto, pine nuts, and lemon zest. This makes 3/4 of a cup, and you use about a tablespoon on each little crostini. From Red Book, broccoli, this is a question and answer. Broccoli, carrots, and asparagus are my veggie go-tos. Any ideas for mixing it up? The answer, they're so easy to make, but I get bored too. So I've come up with twists that up the flavor, but not the work. Just toss with a little oil and prepare one of these ways. My favorite asparagus is to broil it until it begins to char. This also works with green beans. For broccoli or cauliflower, I add a little grated parmesan and roast it at 425 until golden and tender. I also love cutting carrots like fries, sprinkling on ground cumin, and then roasting at 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Here's a no-bake dessert from Good Housekeeping, caramelized pineapple skewers. Satisfy everyone's sweet tooth with this fresh, fruity treat. Toss pineapple spears with brown sugar and cinnamon, then skewer. Grill each side until lightly charred, then serve with a sprinkle of toasted coconut. 4 ingredients, 0 effort, 100% delicious. From Real Simple, ah. We all have times in our relationships with friends, family, and coworkers when we struggle to be patient or just feel on edge. Do you notice that when you're in that frame of mind, you're actually disturbing your own peace? Fortunately, you can use this situation as an opportunity to relax. Imagine this person and notice what happens in your body when you just think about him or her. Do you suddenly feel tight in your shoulders, tense in your gut? Is it harder to breathe? Put a hand on the place where you feel the most tension. Notice the warmth of your hand there. Begin to breathe normally. Then imagine your breath carrying kindness and softness to this tense place. Do this for a few moments and notice how your body and mind are affected and how your perspective on that relationship has shifted. And this was from Margaret Townsend, thelivingbreath.com. From Family Circle, how do I wear that? And the topic is a high-waisted skirt. Two different ways. Pair a high-waisted skirt with a voluminous top that hits mid-thigh or above to instantly slim your lower half. Or a higher waist allows you to rock a crop top without showing a glimpse of skin. Avoid the tight-on-tight look. Wear a structured but not form-fitting crop to balance out that slim skirt. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, triangleradingservice.org, and is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have any comments or questions, please call us 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.